Welcome to the Plan the Magic podcast, where we help you have the most magical trip to the happiest place on earth. I'm your host, Samantha DeCastro-Corcoran, and on this podcast, we talk planning tips, hotel and food reviews, and about our love for the Disneyland Resort. Let's jump in. I am not affiliated with Disney, the Walt Disney Company, or Disneyland in any way. These podcasts are meant to be educational and support you on your planning journey, and are as accurate as possible on date of publication. But things do change, so always double check, and we are not responsible for any discrepancies.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Plan the Magic podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, and today we're actually going to be talking about a little trip I took to Florida and my comparison of the California parks to the Florida parks, so stay tuned. Okay, so today is going to be a little different. It's going to be more of a experience opinion type of podcast today. As you know, if you've been listening, I am definitely a Disneyland goer. I live in Western Canada. I live in Alberta. So California is closer than Florida. So it is, you know, an easier flight, a cheaper flight. I also really enjoy Southern California in general. I have never been to Florida before our trip this last month. So it was a whole new experience. But we're going to jump into that. My Walt Disney World experience, which was short, but definitely gave me some insight on the differences between Walt Disney World and Disneyland, and kind of what my preferences are just off of this one visit. So I've been to Disneyland in California 4 times at this point. My first time was in 2008 when I was 17 with my family. And then I went again with a friend in 2013, and then my husband and I have been the last 2 years, so 2023 and 2024, and the hope is to make it a regular yearly trip. Now, Walt Disney World, I'm not gonna lie, has always intimidated me a little bit in regards to planning a trip, because for those of you who have been to both, Disneyland is much easier to navigate because of how much smaller it is. So the transportation and all that stuff kind of overwhelmed me a little bit when it came to planning a Walt Disney World trip, so this was almost kind of a really good way to dip my toe into it without fully committing to a Disney World trip, but still getting to enjoy some of the Disney magic while we were in Florida, and getting to see it at Christmas time. I have not had the pleasure of seeing a Disney park at Christmas yet, so this was my first time doing that as well. And just kind of giving me an idea of the lay of the land. I have a little bit of social anxiety, so one of the ways that you can help control that or help make yourself feel better about that is you do a lot of planning ahead. So if I'm going somewhere new, I always check what the parking situation is. If I'm going to a new restaurant, I always look at the menu ahead of time and kind of give myself an idea of what I want. And planning a trip somewhere I've never been is no different. I just plan the heck out of it and want to know as much as humanly possible before I go, and it helps a lot with that anxiety. So we went to Florida, we went to Tampa the first week of December 2024. My husband's very good friend and his family moved there over the summer, and we were going to go visit. So we did have somewhere to stay, which was fantastic. They lived a little bit north of Tampa, so we flew into Tampa. They came and picked us up from the airport, and we stayed with them for the week. Luckily for us, they are pass holders at both Disney World and Legoland, so we went to both. The Sunday we went to Legoland, and I had never been to a Legoland before, so that was very interesting. It is definitely geared more towards children. It's not like Disney in the way, like, I don't feel weird going to Disney as an adult, but I would probably feel a little weird going to Legoland as an adult without children. And that's just like a personal, like, observation both my husband and I made, but it was super cool. I didn't do, like, every single ride, more of, like, roller coastery ones. I, you know, took the risk with my motion sickness and did some of those. The, like, scale models that they have that are all made out of Lego are really cool, of, like, the Empire State Building and, like, a New York skyline and, like, the White House and all of that was super cool. And, of course, our friends' kids had a great time, so that was lovely to be a part of. And then on the Tuesday was the day we went to Walt Disney World. So I was the one who kind of got to decide which park we were going to, because we were just doing one day at Disney World. And because our friends are pass holders, they can kind of go whenever they want. So they're like, what do you guys want to do? So I was at first not even really wanting to go to Walt Disney World because I'm like, if we can't go and do like a full trip, I don't even know if I really want to go. Like, am I going to be upset if we go for a day and we don't really get to see anything else? But then I realized that it was going to be all decorated for Christmas. And I'm like, I need to see that. Christmas is my favorite holiday. It's my favorite time of the year. So I'm like, we can go do a day and at least I'll get to see that. So made the decision to do Magic Kingdom. So unfortunately, I did not get to see Epcot or Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios, but we did get to at least do a day at Magic Kingdom. So we drove our friends that we were staying with. It was about an hour and a half drive from where they live, but since they're pass holders, they have parking and all of that. So we drove in. I got to like do the drive under like the Walt Disney World, like Welcome to Walt Disney World arch, which was super cool. And if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen that in some of my reels already. And like the Magic Kingdom sign, and you know, you go and park and everybody walks to the TTC, which is the Ticket and Transportation Center. And that's where you do, that's where you get on to, did we do security there? Yeah, I think so. I think we did security there. And then we got on to the monorail that directly takes you to Magic Kingdom. So we got on the monorail, which goes through the Contemporary Resort, which is very cool to see. And then you stop at Magic Kingdom and you hop off and you're at the park. You just scan in your ticket and you're good to go. So the first thing I noticed was the difference was just like approaching the park. So when we go to Disneyland, we stay across the street. It's a 5-minute walk. We just walk straight into the Esplanade after security. And it's so easy and everything is right there. The sheer size of Disney World, like I knew it was big, but like actually getting to see that in person, like driving in up on World Drive and like noticing like we drive past Hollywood Studios and I could see like the back of the rock spires from Galaxy's Edge and like seeing that stuff as you're driving in and how far apart everything was spaced was really cool and very different than Disneyland. Disneyland Paris also doesn't have that feeling because, again, it's actually quite, everything's quite close together in regards to the approach to the park. So you don't get that, like, oh my God, there's that thing. And then you drive for 5 more minutes and it's like, oh my God, there's that thing. It's, I think that's a very unique, I've never been to any of the parks in Asia, but very unique to Florida with how spread out everything is. And so that was cool. And then getting to do the monorail as like an actual mode of transportation, not just a ride, essentially, was cool. And how it like went through on the way into the park, it goes through the Contemporary, and then on the way out it goes through the Polynesian, so you get to see two, and you go past the Grand Floridian as well when you're taking the monorail to and from the parking lot at the TTC. So we got to experience all of that. It blew my mind how like you can like outside of Disneyland, when you're driving up, you can see like Guardians of the Galaxy, you can see like the tops of Space Mountain and Matterhorn. You can see like the Incredicoaster, but you can't see the castle from outside the park. You can absolutely see the castle, Cinderella Castle, from outside of Magic Kingdom. Like as you're rolling in, it's like this massive thing that you can see from outside the park, which was super weird. And like my brain struggled to process a little bit. But anyway, so we got there, we had just a day pass. So we did, the scanning in is a little bit different at Disney World. It's not really a cast member who's actively doing it. You scan your phone up against the little like Magic Band scanner and then do a fingerprint. So we both did that, walked in, and then walked in under the Disneyland Rail, or Disneyland, the, it's not the Disneyland Railroad there, but the railroad, Walt Disney World Railroad, Magic Kingdom Railroad, into Town Square. So Town Square is definitely very, it's like same, same, but different. It's the same feel, but everything's just bigger. Like it's true two stories versus like the forced perspective we get at Disneyland. Everything just felt bigger and further apart. So when we kind of turned the corner and saw the castle, it's just like this massive, overwhelmingly huge thing. And I will say, and maybe this is because I've done Disneyland more, it was cool, but I didn't get that like feeling I get. Because when I, and it, this is the same for every time I go to Disneyland, the first day we walk into Disneyland proper and we turn the corner and see the castle, I get like emotional. And I didn't get emotional at Walt Disney World. It was very cool and like every ride we did was super enjoyable, but I was missing some of the emotion. And I don't know if that's just a me thing, or I don't know if that's just like, there's almost some magic missing in some way, because it's not like Walt Disney didn't get to open that park and like actively be in that park once it was open, whereas Disneyland is the original park that he planned and opened and got to experience. Or if I'm just making that all up and it's all in my head, either or. but yeah, it was still incredibly impressive and beautiful, and the Christmas decorations were amazing. And walking down Main Street was it's always good. And we went straight into, we didn't rope drop. We were maybe 20, 30 minutes behind rope drop, just because of traffic in Florida. I don't know how y'all do it in the States. It seems like every single interstate is just a nightmare, and getting around is a nightmare. But it took us a little longer to get there than we had anticipated, so we didn't get there for rope drop. But we were also there on a Mickey's Christmas Party day, which actually worked in our favor because the crowds were super light, because the park closes at 6 to everybody without a party ticket. So I don't know. I actually made the decision not to purchase Lightning Lane, which kind of hurt my soul a little bit, because everything I'd heard going into it was like, you need it to go to Disney World. We didn't need it, and I'm so glad we didn't pay for it, because I can't get over how quickly and easily we got on everything. So we went straight to Tron, because my big thing was I wanted to do the things that we didn't have in California. So we went to Tron first. Loved it. I will say, the posture they have you in for someone who's over the age of 30, my neck was sore after, because you're in a bike and pushed forward, and you, like, if you want to see things, you kind of lift your and extend your neck in kind of a weird way. Me, my husband, and our friend that went with us definitely noticed that. but it was a crazy amazing ride. We only waited like 20-30 minutes standby to get on a Tron, so that was incredible. And then got some coffee for breakfast at the Joffrey stand in Tomorrowland. Probably wouldn't do it that way again. Kind of regret that. But I don't know the food at Disney World very well, so I was kind of at a loss for some of that. So we did that. We did the Buzz Lightyear ride, which was fun. I'm definitely better at the one in California. It's a little bit easier to do, in my opinion. But it was still a great time. The kids loved it. So we did that, and then we went over to, we caught a bit of, they have a lot of shows in front of Cinderella Castle. There's like a full stage there. So we caught the tail end of one of them that had like Elsa and Anna and Mickey and Minnie. So we stopped and watched that with the kids for a little bit. And then we went over into Fantasyland. Our friends and their little girls went on to Dumbo, and everyone but me did the teacups, because I'm like, I am not risking myself on the teacups. So my husband went with them, and like five of them shoved into a teacup, and it was actually hilarious to watch, but had a great time with that. And then Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was closed all up until that point. So while everybody else was on the teacups and doing Dumbo, I was kind of like watching the app and listening to hear ride ops to see if they were going to be bringing up Mine Train. And lo and behold, luck would have it, the timing of it was perfect. As they were coming off of Dumbo, they had opened Mine Train, and we were able to get on in under 20 minutes, which again, for a newer attraction, is kind of unheard of there. So that was incredible. We did Little Mermaid, which is the same ride as the one in California. The queue is just much more elaborate, which was very cool to walk through. We didn't wait longer. Everything was less than 20 minutes or even a walk on. Space Mountain we did as a walk-on, like straight up the 10 minutes was just walking to our ride vehicle. We never stopped. The only thing we waited longer for was Jungle Cruise, which in Magic Kingdom for the Christmas holiday, it's Jingle Cruise, so it's a Christmas layover. So it's incredibly popular. So it was like, that one was like a 40-minute wait that we ended up doing, but that was the longest we waited for anything. It was 20 minutes or less for everything else, which I did not think was possible at Magic Kingdom in December. So I don't know how the Disney gods were smiling upon us that day, because we actually got pretty much everything done that I wanted to. We did Haunted Mansion. We didn't do Tiana's because it was just going to be me and my husband who did it. And I did join the virtual queue, but it was kind of towards the end of the day, and we were kind of like, do we want to get that wet now? And we kind of passed on it. We're going to just do it for the first time when we go to California next. We did Big Thunder. Big Thunder is going to be closed at Walt Disney World for a very long refurb and for the construction that they're doing. They're expanding Magic Kingdom quite a bit behind Big Thunder. So that was closing, that closed this month. So we got to go on Big Thunder, which that's my husband's favorite ride at Disneyland. So we absolutely had to go on the wildest ride in the wilderness in Magic Kingdom. So we did that. Didn't catch the parade, but my friend and her daughters, they caught it while we were on Big Thunder. We did Pirates, which as soon as, it's so funny, as soon as we like cross this threshold, my husband looks at me, he's like, it has the same smell. I'm like, it does. So we did Pirates, which is a little different. We got some Dole Whip. We tried to get the cheeseburger spring rolls, but they were sold out by the end of the day when we were going, so we missed out on that. But we pretty much did everything that I wanted to snag. Tron and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train were the two biggest ones for me. Jingle Cruise, because we don't get that layover in California. I'm a little bummed we didn't actually end up doing the People Mover. We kind of did just like a loop of the park. We didn't do any like crisscrossing or anything like that. So we didn't do that, but I'm sure we'll be back at some point. And then I didn't actually end up buying any merch. I came down with stuff I had from Disneyland, and I took my Anna ears, and I didn't buy any ears or like shirts or spirit jerseys. Something, I don't know what it was, but I went through all the stores on Main Street and nothing was really piquing my interest. Whereas I find when I go to Disneyland, I want to buy everything, especially that D-Lander store that opened in downtown Disney. I'm scared to go in there the next time we go because I feel like I'm going to want everything. But I did end up getting a caramel apple because I had to. And, we ate lunch at the Pinocchio restaurant in Fantasyland. The closest thing I can think of in Disneyland is the Red Rose Tavern. I personally prefer the Red Rose Tavern because they have a chicken sandwich I absolutely love. And they have the gray stuff. The gray stuff in Walt Disney World is not the same as the gray stuff in Disneyland. It's more of a cupcake in Florida versus like an actual like dessert type like mousse thing in California. I just ended up getting like a chicken parmesan sandwich, which was fine. It was okay. I struggled a little bit with the food going into it. Even like I looked at all the places to eat, I'm like, none of this, I don't know, sounds great. And like we didn't even get a churro, which is like unheard of for us in a Disney park, but the Dole Whip kind of like took place of the churro because we were only there for one day. But yeah, and then around 5 o'clock we hopped back on the monorail, went back to the car, drove through an hour and a half of traffic, had McDonald's for dinner, went home. So I will say, I mean, I'm happy we went and I did enjoy it. It was, even my husband kind of noticed, he's like, it feels different. I'm like, I agree. I can't put my finger on what it is. I don't know if it's because Disneyland feels so intimate and small, and the way we like to do the parks is very much geared towards Disneyland. I don't know how we would do a full trip to Walt Disney World because we like taking breaks in the middle of the day. And the thought of having to find a mode of transportation to get us back to our hotel just to rest for a couple of hours and then find another mode of transportation to get back to a park isn't super appealing to us. We like that we just literally walk out of the park, walk across the street to any of the hotels on Harbor. Last time we stayed at the Grand Legacy. And we're just in our hotel room. Like, we can be on a ride and then within 10 minutes we can be, like, walking through our hotel room door. And we really, 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 really like that because we rope drop, we go until like early afternoon, we take a big break, and then we go back for the evenings and once it's dark and get to enjoy the park at night. So I will say that I definitely think because of how we like to do the parks, Disneyland is more conducive to that type of park going. I'm not saying that I don't want to go back to Walt Disney World and actually get to see Epcot and Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom because we didn't get to experience those. And those are the parks that are the most different from California. I'm just not in a rush. It is a lot more time and a lot more money. The flights aren't crazy more expensive for us, especially if we fly into Orlando versus Tampa. There's a lot more options, but it is definitely a bigger commitment. And because next time we decide to go to Florida, whether we're visiting our friends or we're doing strictly a park visit, Epic Universe will be open by then because that's opening in May. And I want to do Universal because I've never done a Universal park at all. And the Universal parks in Orlando look way more intense than the one in Hollywood. So I'm going to be very honest. The Islands of Adventure and Hollywood's and like Universal Studios proper, I strictly want to go to do Harry Potter. I want to go to Diagon Alley. I want to get on the Hogwarts Express, go to the other park, do Hogsmeade, and then I could care less for the rest of the park, except maybe the Jurassic Park rides and like the Velociraptor ride, the big roller coaster. The rest I'm just kind of like, eh. Whereas Epic Universe looks incredible, and with it just being like a new, like a brand new park, I'm super pumped to see that, and it looks like they're just like really pushing the envelope with a lot of these rides. Again, the Harry Potter portion of that park is the portion I'm most interested in, but we haven't gone and seen like the Mario Super Nintendo stuff yet, so that would be a first for us as well. And yeah, so I would want to go. We're flying down to Florida. It's like we need at least 4 days for Disney World, and my husband likes a break in between each day. Don't know if we'll be able to do that. Plus probably a day, maybe two for Universal, a day to do Islands of Adventure and Studios, and then another day for Epic Universe. So that's already 6 park days, not taking into account any days off, not taking into account flights, and not taking into account wanting to sleep, at least pop in and visit our friends that live in Tampa. So it's definitely going to be a trip that's like a 2-week trip. And like, we're like really investing in it and staying like on property at Disney World and probably on property at Universal. And it's just a very different trip. Again, like I said, I'm not really in a rush to go back. I'm happy we did it. And maybe it'll be just like if we do end up visiting our friends in Tampa again before we're really ready to plan a full Walt Disney World trip, we'll go do a different park. Maybe we'll go do Epcot for a day while we visit them, that kind of thing. And just like slowly pick through the different parks. And then one day when we're ready to do a big, big trip, we'll do that. Because I also am of the opinion that I don't want to have to give up my Disneyland trip for the year to go to Disney World, if I'm being completely honest. I like the food at Disneyland better. My husband says it's all park food, so he's not like overly impressed with anything. I actually really enjoy the food at Disneyland. So I prefer the food, I prefer the environment, I prefer the hotels, and just like how we don't need to rent a car and everything's walking distance, and it's super easy to just like pop out to Laguna for a few days before we head home. Orlando's kind of like in the middle of the state, so it's not like it's easy to get to a beach. Even where our friends live in Tampa, it still would have been like an hour and a half to get to a nice beach on the coast. And you'd think that's not the case, but because they're like northern Tampa, like everything's just so spread out and the interstates are so clogged that you take all these weird back roads and it's either like 2 hours in traffic or 2 hours of these windy back roads. And it was, yeah, Florida is interesting. My husband was very happy. He got to see a crocodile multiple times. I did not. I stayed, he would go, our friends live in a golf cart neighborhood, and he would go to take one of the girls to school in the morning so he could like spy for crocodiles, and he did see a couple on those morning trips, so he was very happy about that. I manifested not seeing any, so I'm fine with that. But yeah, so that was our little experience in Florida. Again, I can see why people love Walt Disney World from the sheer size of it, and I'm sure once we get to experience like Epcot, where like the food and stuff from the World Showcase is just like a whole different thing. But like Magic Kingdom compared to Disneyland proper, I think I'll take Disneyland over Magic Kingdom. Tron is super cool. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is really cool. I wish we still had the People Mover in California, but I'm good with how it is. And even when they do Disneyland Forward, I kind of hope they don't mess with Disneyland and the expansion is either a third gate, which I don't think is going to be the case, but maybe, or it's like purely an expansion of California Adventure, because California Adventure needs it more than Disneyland does anyway. To me, Disneyland feels very, it's good. And I know like Walt Disney said, like as long as there's imagination in the world, Disneyland will never be finished. But it does feel like very complete right now. It doesn't feel like it needs anything. There's tons to do. The atmosphere of it all is really good. And yeah, that's just my opinion on it. But that is our little trip to Florida. It was cold, which I just packed shorts, so that was unfortunate, but of course it was like the coldest week they've had like ever this past year, the week we were there, but we managed. And then for the rest of the time we did just like chill out and hang out with our friends, and it was enjoyable. So that's my comparison between a quick visit to Magic Kingdom and my beloved Disneyland in California. If you're looking for more Disneyland-specific travel tips, stay tuned to the podcast. We're going to be jumping back into the reviews of each land that I had started at the end of last year, and then ongoing with different park updates. This year is the 70th anniversary of Disneyland Park, which starts on May 16th, so we're going to be getting a lot of celebration and a lot of, hopefully, some new things popping up in the park, so we'll be on top of that. And if you are listening to this when it comes out, that's second week of January, just keep in mind that Lunar New Year starts on January 17th, so that's this week that I'm recording. So there'll be the food booths over in DCA, and we will get some different foods throughout the resort. And all of the holiday food has gone away, but we did get some new food replacements on January 8th as well throughout the park. So jump into the app before you go. Browse through some of the menus. That's what I really like to do to kind of get an idea of what we're going to be looking for food-wise. Also a reminder that Jolly Holiday is closed for a while, so if you're looking for breakfast from Jolly Holiday, Refreshment Corner is opening early to serve some of those things that would have been served from Jolly Holiday. And yeah, I think that's it. So I will see you guys in the next episode. Make sure you follow me over on Instagram for all of your planning needs at plan.the.magic.dl, and I'll see you in the next episode.
That's it for today's episode of Plan the Magic. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And as always, keep dreaming. And until next time, I'll see you real soon.